Riverside Healthcare puts the health and wellness information you need well within reach.
Welcome back to the Well Within Reach podcast. I'm your host, Helen Dandurand, and today I'm going to be joined by Richard Kane, a paramedic with Riverside, to talk about how Riverside paramedics respond quickly and effectively to stroke symptoms.
Healthcare can be confusing, but thanks to your My Riverside MyChart, you can easily manage not only your care, but your family's as well. With a single click, your My Riverside MyChart lets you stay well connected to the same information your provider sees. You can view your health history, get test results, request prescription refills, pay your bill, or make an appointment. Manage your care from anywhere, your laptop, phone, or tablet. Learn more and enroll today at riversidemychart.org.
And we're back with Richard. Thanks for joining us today. Could you start by just telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name is Richard, and I've been a paramedic for 13 years with Riverside for over 16. Along with my work as a paramedic, I'm also a field training officer where I mentor new recruits, and I'm in charge of administering our electronic health record.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's a long time. Has the job changed a lot in the time that you've been doing it?
Definitely. When we first started, we were doing everything on paper, and it's taken about 10 years, and we are finally, for the first time ever, paperless.
That's awesome. That's really great. Well, I'm sure that all of those new technologies kind of factor in with speed and the things that you're able to do, and that's why we're here to talk a little today. We know that like strokes strike fast, and we have to act quickly when responding to them. So I guess just to start with that, what are the key signs and symptoms that someone might be having a stroke, and when should 911 be called?
Great question. When it comes to a stroke, every second counts. So it's important to recognize the signs early. A simple way to remember the key symptoms is with the acronym FAST. F is for face, ask the person to smile. What you're looking for is if one side of the face is drooping or not symmetrical. A stands for arms. You have them raise both arms. If one arm starts to drift down or they can't lift it, that's another red flag. S is for speech. Ask them to repeat a simple sentence. If their speech is slurred or hard to understand, it could be a stroke. And T is for time. If you notice any of these signs, time is critical. You need to call immediately. And there is no, we don't get upset if we show up and it's something simple or something less than. We're actually happy about that.
Right.
But if it's not, it's always good to call early.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good to know. I feel like sometimes just the idea of calling 911 is kind of daunting to say, oh, well, I don't know. That doesn't seem like it's that critical, but just knowing, you know, you should do it and then you can be assessed, and that's much better than the alternative. My next question here is, what role do family members or bystanders play in these situations, and how can they best help the patient while they're waiting for paramedics to arrive?
Family members and bystanders, they play a critical role. One of the biggest things is we're going to be asking a lot of questions of the patient, and sometimes they're not able to answer. They're like the lifeline or the bridge between the patient and us. They will know their baseline better than we will. But the biggest thing is to remind the patient to stay calm. The more composed they are, the more effectively they can assist.
Cool. You said that timing is very important during a stroke. What steps do you take to ensure a fast response when 911 is called?
Well, the biggest thing is we treat everything like it is an emergency already. So once the 911 call happens, it's going to an emergency medical dispatcher who's going to answer the phone, ask pertinent questions, and then we're going to be dispatched. We respond immediately to all emergencies. We respond fast, but safe.
Yep.
So, you know, lights and sirens, we're coming, and we're coming ready to go to work as soon as we get there.
Awesome. Well, that's good to know, reassuring to know. We're going to take a quick break to talk about primary care at Riverside. Consistency is being able to count on someone to be there when you need them. At Riverside Healthcare, your primary care provider is dedicated to being in your corner, helping you and your family stay healthy and thrive. Find the right primary care provider for you at riversidehealthcare.org/primary care. From annual screenings to well checks and everything in between, having a primary care provider that you can trust makes all the difference. And we are back to talk a little more about strokes and how paramedics respond to them here at Riverside. So can you walk us through the initial steps that you take when someone suspected of having a stroke is picked up by an ambulance?
Yeah, of course. As I stated before, the first thing is it's going to be answered by an emergency medical dispatcher. They're going to get the pertinent information. They're going to relay that to us. So when we get to the scene, we have a better understanding of what exactly we're walking into. And then time is brain when it comes to a stroke. So we're going to seem like we're moving kind of fast. We're going to go through a Cincinnati stroke scale, which is asking the patient different questions to kind of see if they have any deficits. We're going to be asking the family, when was their last known normal, and get a good, solid medical history on that patient. Once that's done, care is initiated at the bedside. So we'll do most of this stuff in the house. And then, it's getting the patient to the ambulance and to definitive care, like Riverside ER.
Got it. You kind of mentioned this a little bit in answering that, but what kind of communication happens between you, the patient, and the hospital during a suspected stroke case?
Getting a solid medical history, getting a last known normal, communicating with the family, because even though the patient is your patient, mm-hmm. you have to be empathetic and keep the family informed, explain to them. There's a lot of education that goes in. The difference between a critical access hospital versus a primary stroke center. We cover a very large area where the closest hospital may not be the most appropriate hospital. The patients do get a choice at the end of the day, but we do have to educate.
Okay, so are there any specific tools or technology that you use in the ambulance to aid in this diagnosis on the way to the hospital?
Yes, definitely. And this is probably the part that I'm most excited about because we're putting in new technologies as we speak.
Yeah.
But obviously we have, the ambulance is equipped. I call it like a mini ER. We have a cardiac monitor. So we would do a 3-lead ECG, a 12-lead EKG, blood glucose, because a lot of low blood sugar symptoms mimic a stroke.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't put a lot of thought into the different things that could be mimicking that too.
Yeah, strokes don't always present like you see on TV or in the movies. So we have to have an array of tools to try to assess and figure out exactly what's going on with the patient. Obviously, we're going to take like baseline vital signs, blood pressure, pulse, respirations, pulse ox, and tidal capnography is something new that we've implemented within the last few years. And what's coming now is we're starting to institute telemedicine in the ambulance. So with switching to an electronic health record, we got tablets. And we were able to figure out that we can use our instant messaging program, Trillian. It's HIPAA compliant. So eventually we're going to have a tablet in the field for the stroke patient. We're going to be able to show the doctor in real time on a video call the signs and symptoms that we're seeing, in addition to we've already transmitted that 12 lead to the hospital so he can see it. And then we do a Cincinnati stroke scale, obviously, as well, and what's called a RACE score. So I've already explained the Cincinnati stroke scale. Mm-hmm. The RACE score is kind of differentiating the type of stroke, mostly looking for an occlusive or an ischemic stroke.
Could you explain the difference between those?
Between an ischemic stroke. So you have ischemic stroke and you have hemorrhagic. An ischemic stroke is a clot. What that is somewhere in the brain, there is a clot that is developed that is cutting off oxygen. And remember, time is brain, because oxygen deprivation is actually what causes the brain deficits. So within, a certain window of time, that if we can get that patient to definitive care, the goal is to have them symptom-free after they administer the clot-busting medications. A hemorrhagic stroke is a little different. It's where vessels have actually burst.
Okay.
And that becomes a surgical issue.
Got it. So, yeah, with all those, the technologies are just crucial. And the speed and the safety you guys can get folks to where they need to be is super important. And that kind of, after you explaining, the reason that the time is brain and things like that, it makes sense that you want to go to the center that has the advanced care that can care for you right away, as opposed to being transferred. It sounds like that could be detrimental.
Well, exactly. Because once you go to hospital A, And we're lucky we have great hospitals in the area, no yeah. matter which one, where you go. But hospital A may not have a neurologist in the building. And so that person may have to get transferred to a facility that's in their partner region or something like that. Mm-hmm. Generally, it's like a 3-hour window for the clot busting medication. And by the time they get assessed in that emergency room, the transfer gets scheduled, you're really starting to creep up on the time.
Yeah, could be scary. So once you arrive, say like your team, when you arrive at Riverside at the emergency department, how are strokes officially then diagnosed and treated? And are there any special technologies that help with that process?
So today, as we're transporting that patient to the hospital, we have to do a call into the hospital to give them a report. And what we would say is, you know, this is Riverside Ambulance. We're calling in a code stroke. That is a universal code at Riverside that's saying I'm bringing somebody in that has stroke-like symptoms. At that time, Riverside Emergency Room is activating the code stroke. So we're getting neuro, we're getting pharmacy coming down. All these different departments come together and they're standing waiting for us to arrive. Sometimes the ER doctor may be waiting outside where the ambulance parks so he can get eyes on the patient immediately. After that happens, once we arrive at Riverside, we bypass the ER. We go straight to CT so the patient can be scanned. They become a priority patient. They cut in line, if you will, and they get scanned within minutes of us arriving at Riverside. And that's how the stroke will be officially diagnosed, is off a CT or an MRI.
Got it. Sometimes you have to cut in line when it's important.
Yeah, you know, it's a triage system. Yeah, and it works.
Yeah, well, that's really great. And then it sounds like from there, you know, you can get the care that you need with the specialists that are needed here at Riverside.
Yeah, yeah. Generally speaking, once we get to CT, we have to re-give our report to the physician and the nurse. And then our part of it is finished. It's kind of like, you know, like a football team, you know, yeah. you have your special teams. We get as close to the goal as possible. And then the doctor's the quarterback. And we just kind of hand it off to him to finish.
Well, that's awesome. And I mean, that's a lot of important work that you guys are doing to get folks where they need to be safely and educate and assess. There's a lot going on and you guys do a great job.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank yeah. you. Thanks for all that you do. Is there anything else that you feel like we missed that you might want to add today?
I think just circling back on the importance of early recognition, you know, a lot of people, you are right, back to your point earlier, where people are apprehensive about calling 911. They mm-hmm. think they're being a burden. You're really not. That's literally what we're setting, they're being paid for. And we would rather put your mind at ease if it's nothing and just bring you over to the hospital to get checked out. But in the time of when it's a true emergency, like a stroke, we get gratification from that early recognition, getting the patient the definitive care safely, and starting a lot of those treatments and having a positive outcome.
Yeah. So definitely remember, if you're listening, if there's ever any question, don't be afraid to call 911. Well, thank you for being with us today, Richard.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Well Within Reach podcast brought to you by Riverside Healthcare. For more information, visit riversidehealthcare.org.